You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
Hey everybody, it's your friendly neighborhood Nerd Overload, the pop and geek culture show that knows with great power comes great responsibility. I'm Josh.
I'm Cody.
I'm Samantha.
And I'm Sam.
Kind of mixing it up today,
that's right. We have a great show for you this week. Thank you all for tuning in. We have a bunch of news, including a review of Spider-Man Homecoming coming up in the second part of the show. But first, let's get into some things we've been checking out.
Whip, whip.
That was your webbing.
Yes, that was my web.
My
nerd web.
There's a crusty old meme.
Yep.
How do I shot web? Look it up, kids.
Yeah, you like those memes.
Yeah.
Those were our memes, and we liked it.
Petridge Farm remembers.
Did you want to talk about Riverdale?
We could talk about Riverdale. I mean, we've talked about Riverdale before on the show.
It's been a long time.
Yeah, he staunchly told people not to watch it.
I told you. I warned you.
I just decided to watch it just to put trash on while working out.
Yeah. Well, you couldn't. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Couldn't have picked trashier trash. Because, yeah, I mean, yeah, it's garbage.
It is absolute garbage.
It's like watching a hot plate of just trash. Yeah.
The hot teens.
No, teens. Those teens are in quotes.
Yeah.
Because there's no way that any of them are under the age of 20.
No, they all look like full-grown adults. Like, even Archie and Grundy don't look more than a couple years apart.
Yeah. If they didn't, you know, hammer it in on that first episode that, hey, we're sophomores.
Yeah.
Like, they would look at Grundy and Archie and go, okay.
Yeah. That whole side plot is garbage.
Yeah.
They want you to feel for Grundy or whatever and Archie, but, well, I guess to feel bad for Archie because he was statutory raped.
Yeah.
But I can't feel bad for her at all because she's basically a child predator.
Yeah, that's super not cool.
No, I can't believe they wrote it that way. It's nuts.
Yeah, it's like they didn't think. Well, like we said before recording, it's like they wrote this. There's a version of this script, I bet, where they're all seniors. They're all 18-year-old seniors, and it's much less problematic.
Yeah.
But someone along the line said, we're going to get multiple seasons of this, so push them back up a couple years so we don't have to worry about college right away.
Actually, I just read that the next season is going to be like 22 or 24 episodes.
Oh, jeez.
Good Lord.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
That's a lot of episodes.
Yeah.
For a bad TV show.
I wonder what the main thrust of season 2 is going to be.
Archie.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
But, like, no spoilers, but they solve the mystery at the end of this season. The whole Jason Blossom thing, that's super tangential, like in the background for those first 5 episodes. They super solve it.
Huh.
Yeah.
Some further mystery will come forth, I'm sure.
Yeah. Maybe they'll introduce Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Oh, I hope so.
I'd be down.
A supernatural element to Riverdale.
Yeah. Why not?
It's already pretty weird.
Yeah.
I feel like when they wrote this show, like, they knew the names, but didn't really know that much about, like, the core of, like, the Archie comics.
I don't know
about that.
The characters are pretty well characterized.
Yeah.
Based on their, it's just, like, they're based on those characters and put in a different situation. Kind of like Afterlife with Archie, but not good.
Which is interesting because one of the head writers for this show was the guy who wrote Afterlife with Archie.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Just so many, like, literary references.
Yeah, it's weird. And they feel really forced.
It's like, oh, look, we're smart. Maybe we'll get lucky. Maybe they'll just do Archie versus Predator.
Yeah.
That would be good.
Yeah.
I'm going to push that comic to the day I die because it's stupid.
There's an Archie meets someone comic that's coming out soon.
Archie meets Poison Ivy in Harley Quinn.
That's what it is.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's what it is.
I meant to tell you about that, but yeah, they're doing that.
Like, the image is like Archie drinking a milkshake with Poison Ivy and Harley Quinn on each side of him, and then Betty and Veronica are behind him, like, glaring.
Yeah, and it's being partially written by Paul Dini, which means it's going to be really, really funny.
Yeah.
Oh,
Yeah.
I've always been a Veronica guy.
Yeah.
Between Betty and Veronica. But this show, in the universe of this show, I like Betty better.
I'm a Veronica through and through. 100%. 100 years. 100 years Veronica.com.
I mean, anywhere out of the show, yes. But in this show, I don't know. I just feel so bad for poor Betty.
Well, yeah, I feel bad for Betty, too. But, it's Veronica.
I think Betty's just such a sweetheart in this show. Although, they kind of hint that maybe something's not quite right with Betty, too. I think maybe she has split personalities. I think her sister,
mm-hmm.
they always talk about, I think maybe that's just her.
Keep thinking that. that's one theory. Might not be right, but that's one theory.
They make it kind of seem that way, especially, I don't want to spoil any. Well, I don't know. Does it matter?
It doesn't matter. It's Riverdale. Show. Who cares? Spoil it.
I kind of want to hear about the con, though.
What?
I kind of want to hear about the con.
The con?
Convention.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I should probably talk about the convention.
Yeah. No, last weekend I ran out to Indianapolis for Indie Pop Con. This is the fourth year that they put their con on, and it has doubled in size from last year. The thing was massive.
Yeah, it seems like it's turned into a pretty big con.
It's kind of becoming a big deal. A ton of cosplay. Just floor to ceiling. Just cosplay and everything. Booths all over the place. I like that this con focuses not just on comics or not just on celebrities, but they get YouTube personalities, they get musicians, they get, a wide range of folks out there.
That's why it's called PopCon.
Yeah, exactly.
It's pop culture, not just any one specific thing.
Exactly. But it was a blast. I was able to make it out for the Friday and Saturday. I didn't stick around for the Sunday. But next year, I'm probably going to go all 3 days just because it was that much fun.
I'm glad you had a good time.
Yeah. It was a blast. Got to see a couple of panels. That was really cool. The major panel was, it's like, I think it was called like Twisted Tunes or something like that. It was four voice actors read the first part of the script for The Princess Bride and switched up their voices per act. So it was Richard Horvitz, who was Alpha 5 and Invader Zim. Jess Harnell, who was Wacko, and a bunch of others. Troy Baker.
Every video game protagonist.
Pretty much, yeah. And, God, who was the fourth one? Oh, Phil LaMarr was the fourth one.
Oh, wow.
Nice. Yeah.
LaMarr of being freaking Phil LaMarr.
Yeah, yeah.
Samurai Jack.
Yeah.
And everything else.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a blast. That was hilarious.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
Yeah.
They've been doing that a lot here lately with, like, when they get a bunch of voice actors together.
Mm-hmm.
Though, like, I've seen where they, like, read the whole script of, like, Star Wars
and
stuff like that.
Well, it's Jess Harnell's thing.
Oh, okay.
Any con that he goes to, he puts that, that's his panel.
Okay.
He puts that on. And they do different movies or whatever.
Star Wars went around real big when they did it at San Diego one time.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, yeah. That might have been one of the first times they did that, I think, if I'm remembering
right.
Yeah. Sat through that panel, went to a Lloyd Kaufman panel, of course.
Nice.
Got to talk to Lloyd again this year at his booth. Really, not really his booth. It's his merch table that he just kind of hangs out at for the day. That was a blast. Has some really, really strong opinions on net neutrality.
He would.
Absolutely. But no, got to talk to some people out there. Didn't get a chance to speak to a whole lot of celebrities. Unfortunately, we just didn't get the opportunity. Tried for it, but, it happens.
We're not that big time.
We're not there yet.
Yeah.
But I did talk to Johnny Young Bosch a little bit, the Black Power Ranger, because
Also a voice actor,
because I have to. It's Power Rangers. I have to.
You're obligated.
I have to stay on brand, you guys. I have to stay on brand.
But also, he wasn't one of the worst later Rangers.
Oh, no. He was probably one of the best Rangers from that main
From
cast.
That era.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Adam Park was the best Ranger. Better than Tommy.
Adam Park.
The Johnny Young Bosch's character.
I can never remember his name.
As far
name.
As I'm concerned, Tommy's the worst Ranger.
Well, he's the Poochie of early Power Rangers. Everybody talks about Tommy, and when he's not on screen, everyone asks, "Where's Tommy?" But no, actually, I ran into some people from Marion while I was out there and kind of hung out with them, including former special guest on the show, Josh.
Oh, okay.
Josh Sines, yeah. He was out there and just kind of hung out, and it was a blast. It was a really, really, really good time. I can't wait to go back next year. And on the website, I actually took a bunch of pictures of people in cosplay and put that up for everyone to see. So
yeah,
go over there and check that out. Yeah.
Yeah, our cosplay galleries are generally on point.
Yeah, we usually do a pretty okay job at that.
You got a Dragon Maid one, so that's cool.
Yeah, there were. I'll be honest. For every picture that's on the website, there are at least three that I missed. Honestly, It was just packed, and there were a ton of Dragon Maids. There were a ton of
other anime characters.
You anime,
didn't know who they were.
Yeah. When in doubt, assume it's anime. But no, there was a lot of Undertale characters this year.
That surprises me because I thought it was
kind of done.
Yeah. Not that I don't love Undertale. I don't want to sound like I don't like it because it's a great, fantastic game.
Yeah.
But I thought that was kind of done.
No, it doesn't seem to be, and it seems to be the same age group that Homestucks were into a few years ago.
So the Homestucks, the ones that have moved on.
Yeah, because there are plenty of Homestucks out there as well. And they weren't really enjoying the con. They were all kind of sitting in circles outside of the con.
Doing their Homestuck thing.
In their like candy corn horn costume, whatever. Their weird gray face.
I think Toby Fox is kind of part of that community.
Oh, probably.
So that's why there was crossover.
Probably. Yeah, that makes sense. And starting to see Adventure Zone stuff pop up.
That's great.
Every once in a while. Yeah. Yeah,
it's really big now.
Yeah, it's huge. And, well, that one group that I got a picture of was the three leads and Angus. Yeah.
Boy Detective.
Yeah. But no, it was a lot of fun.
When does the Adventure Zone comic come out? It's got to be soon.
It's got to be soon. I'm not 100% sure.
I
know they were having a little trouble with the depiction of Taco in it because they colored him blue, and I guess that is problematic.
It was or anti-Semitic in some way. I don't know.
I don't know.
They couldn't. Any way they took it, they couldn't
win.
They
couldn't win.
They got in trouble when they were all white at the beginning.
Yeah.
So they changed that up a little bit. And then when they turned Taco blue, then that was the problem.
Yeah. They're not going to win.
No, they can't win.
They're just going to have to pick whatever upsets the least amount of people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what happens when you have characters that people are picturing in their head based on from an audio medium.
Where the players were specifically told not to really describe their character because they wanted the fans to picture them however they want.
This is the human, this is the elf, this is the dwarf.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's like Night Vale. They went nuts with that and created a character that's nowhere near.
That doesn't exist.
Yeah, the actual depiction of Cecil.
Yeah, where did they get the idea for the tattoo, the sleeve eye tattoo?
Yeah, the third
things?
Eye. Yeah, like, that's dumb. It's not canon.
Yeah. You don't see, speaking of that, you don't see Night Vale. There for a while, I was seeing Night Vale cosplay at cons, and that's kind of gone.
It's kind of died down.
I don't know. Generally, anytime I go to like a con or something, I see it always at least like one like terror scout or something.
Oh, okay.
That's the most of the ones I ever see.
I don't know. I think Night Vale's shtick has kind of gotten old, honestly.
Yeah, a little bit.
I haven't listened to Night Vale in a very long time.
No,
I dropped it. Yeah, I couldn't. I was like, I think I'm
done. It's a lot of the same joke over and over again.
Yeah, yeah. After 70 episodes, you're like, I get it.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah.
You're creepy and you're like, gee whiz about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not even gee whiz about it. They're just like, it's like normal every day for them.
Yeah. Also, while I was out at Indianapolis, I was able to stop out at one of those barcade places there called Tappers. It was really cool.
Great name.
Best name ever.
Really good name. Yeah.
Did the bartender have like a big mustache?
He did, but he was a hipster. He wasn't you know. It was.
The Tapper guy does just kind of look like a hipster.
He just
kind of
looked like an old-timey hipster. Yeah. But it was cool. It was a little kind of bit, little bit of a like a hole-in-the-wall kind of place. Not a lot of room to maneuver.
So, like 16-bit. Like 16-bit. Not a lot of room to...
Hey, yeah. 16-bit's great when there's nobody there.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I've been there when there's nobody there. It's great.
It's awesome. But, yeah, no, it was pretty well packed. But no, it was a lot of fun. I'm really glad I got a chance to run out there.
Let's buy the license to Tapper and make a new one where the bartender is like a hipster like that.
Perfect. Done. Sounds good. Yeah.
If anybody wants to invest in my Tapper.
We'll call it Tapsters.
Tapsters. Oh, no. My Tapper reboot. Wonder who owns the rights to it. Because it was Midway, and Midway dissolved.
Yeah.
So those rights might be up in the air.
They might be. I don't know, because Tapper was used in Wreck-It Ralph.
That's true. Well, maybe they used it for free.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know, but someone might hold the right.
Yeah, yeah.
And that someone might be Disney.
Yeah. I was trying to find the rights to who owned Moon Patrol not too long ago.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Because it's a sweet game. And I had an idea for a comic about it.
Oh, cool. Okay.
But I couldn't find who owns the rights. Yeah.
There was a game that I played out there for the first time over the weekend. It was called like Wizard of War. I think it's great.
That's a good game. It's kind of Pac-Man-esque.
I am super good at it. Yeah.
Wizard of War is a sweet game. That's what inspired that lesbian Spider Queens from Mars game. If you've ever played that, that's a great game.
Oh, I have
game.
Played that. I have
that's
played
a fantastic
that game.
Game.
Nice.
I think it's an Adult Swim game.
It's actually one of their stronger games.
Yeah.
So, anyway, beyond the con, the other thing I checked out this week was the first four episodes of Castlevania dropped on Netflix.
And I'm only about an episode and a half.
Yeah. It's okay.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, it's fine. Admittedly, medieval stuff is not my shtick. It's not my forte, and anime-esque stuff is not my shtick. It's not my thing, but
it is American produced.
It's American produced, yeah. It's like a halfway, the animation style is like a halfway mix between Avatar The Last Airbender and Aeon Flux. Like, they're all kind of long, but they're not, like, freak long.
Yeah, but, the guy does Aeon Flux. His art style is really...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's the Rob Liefeld of animation, kind of. But no, the show's enjoyable. It's fine.
I've heard good things. I still haven't sat down and got through it yet.
Well, I keep trying to watch it, and somebody keeps falling asleep.
Well, don't try to watch it at 11 o'clock at night. That's my sleep time.
But no, I think they did a really, really good job setting up why Dracula's decided to, you know what, hey, screw humanity.
Yeah.
I'm done. Like, that whole prologue before the intro sets everything up, makes everything make a lot of sense.
I like the way they took Trevor. He's kind of like a disgrace.
Honestly, watching the first episode and a half with Trevor reminded me a lot of your D&D character, Tom Dujon.
Oh, yeah.
That would be, I kind of, if we played a game where it was like we were being serious... That's, like, probably how I would picture your character going.
That's kind of how he is.
Yeah, yeah. But that's right, Josh, if we played a game.
Yeah.
I'm shaming you on air now about
No,
this.
You do it all the time.
All the time, yeah.
Not on air.
Not on
yes,
air.
Yes, you do. This isn't the first time.
Love you.
I'm sure.
But no, it's enjoyable enough.
The only problem is there's no Castlevania music.
Yeah, that's true. And I'm, you never know. We might get it by the end. I just think the writing's really is really good. It's the standout. It's done by Warren Ellis, who's a comic book writer. He's also an executive producer. And for what it is, and with all the caveats that I have with the style of show it is, it's enjoyable enough. And I think it has like 8 more episodes that are going to be released at some point.
Yeah, they already said season 2. Yeah. With 8 more episodes.
Yeah, so. and that's cool, because if they ended it here with these four, there's like nothing to it.
Alucard's in it, isn't he?
The very end.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. And they explain that his name isn't really Alucard, that his name is actually like Alexander something or other.
Alucard.
Well, his Dracula's name is like Vlad Tempest, right?
Yeah, Vlad Tempest.
So Alucard's name is Alexander Tempest, but he says, everybody calls me Alucard.
Mm.
So, because it's stupid. His name is Dracula backwards.
Yeah. though, side tangent, though, I saw this thing. It was like some post online. I don't remember if it was a BuzzFeed post or not, but it was a list of like every state's favorite video game character or like popular Google searches for video game characters.
Sure.
Oh, it was on the Nerdist, and they messed up.
Yeah, yeah. Out West is a bunch of like... a la carte, but they use the wrong a la carte.
They use the one from Hellsing.
The anime Hellsing. And not
the Carmen Sandiego a la carte.
Good job, Nerdist.
Yeah.
You're really knocking it out of the park.
Only one state had Master Chief.
Oh.
Texas.
Yeah.
Do you remember what Ohio's was?
Sonic.
Sonic.
It was Sonic the friggin' Hedgehog.
Well, you gotta go fast to
get out. I can't believe Sonic beats Mario. I kind of can.
Yeah. Well,
not least, in sales.
Well, at least it wasn't Danky Kong. Yeah.
You would think that it would be Mario and not Sonic because no one in Ohio would want a character that's blue and yellow.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, think about it. Sports. Yeah. Anyway, that's my check-it-outs for this week. I did a surprising amount of things. Now, next week, I'll probably say, I didn't do anything, you know. Oh, and Spider-Man. Yeah, I went and saw Spider-Man.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that. That's all I really got is I watched Spider-Man.
As far as you know, right now, I've seen Spider-Man.
Yes.
Yeah, that man that really does the spidering.
Hey, we'll get into it after the break.
He really shot web.
That reminds me of this, like, webcomic I used to read. It was Batman and Spider-Man.
Spider-Man.
Yeah, it was a cartoon.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Those are great.
You can watch it on, if you get that VRV app, they've got Batman Spider-Man on there.
Oh, nice.
We actually signed up for that, like
it's
the
$10. Really good, actually.
It's a great deal.
Yeah.
And we're not being sponsored by them, although if they would like.
Yeah. But, you get access to like Crunchyroll.
Yeah, for $10 a month, you get Crunchyroll. You get like
Cartoon Hangover.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really cool. It's good.
Tested.
Yeah.
You get all kinds of
Rift
stuff.
Tracks.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah, and although I was paying for Crunchyroll, you get CISO too. I was paying for Crunchyroll and CISO and something else, and I just unsubscribed to all those, and it's cheaper just to have VRV.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Plus, it gives you access to all the Bravest Warriors.
Not an ad. Not an ad.
The Bee and Puppy Cat shows that I kickstarted and couldn't get to anymore.
I actually finally, when I saw the app, I just decided to watch the whole thing. The ending's weird on Bee and Puppy Cat.
I need to watch them. I kickstarted them. I might as well watch all of them.
I tell you, those first couple episodes, after it got kickstarted and came back, I did not care for. But they went to a totally weird direction with it.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
I mean, still, I think I liked it more by the end of it than I did when the Kickstarter version first came out. I never did read the comics, though.
I read one. It was okay. Obviously not super great, or I would have read more than one. I read all of the Motor Crush trade.
Oh, yeah. How was that?
It was excellent.
Yeah?
And it kind of has more of a superhero slant, I think, to it than you would expect.
Okay, because I really just think it's, from the looks of it, it's just future motocross, kind of.
Yeah, well, it's motorcycle racing.
Yeah.
But the main character, Domino Swift, the whole conceit of the thing is there's this drug called Crush that you can give to your motorcycle to make it perform better, but then it gets addicted to it and won't run without it type of thing.
Oh, okay.
Wait, the motorcycles are sentient?
No. No, they just need Crush. To perform at a higher level.
How can a machine get addicted to a drug?
Exactly.
Well, you have to suspend your disbelief on that one.
No, I'm not. It's not a living machine.
Where is your childlike sense of wonder, Josh?
Yeah.
It died a long time ago.
But it's good?
Yeah, they lead you to believe that Domino has asthma, but you know, an issue in, it turns out she's got Crush in there, and she needs the Crush.
Oh.
Which normally, if a person, you know, absorbs it, it makes them explode.
Oh, jeez.
But for some reason, she needs it, and maybe it might make her go at super speed or something.
Oh, nice. Really cool.
Yeah. There's a cliffhanger at the very end where after she takes a bunch of Crush to get out of a bad situation, she comes back 2 years in the future. They're like, where have you been? And she's like, what? I was just in this situation, and now I came back. It's like, no, it's been 2 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and then it ends.
Huh. Wow, that's crazy.
She went so fast, she went into the future.
Yeah, that's what they make it seem like. I don't know what actually happened, but...
Well, that's excellent.
Or maybe she was in a coma.
Yeah. Maybe there, I don't know. There's something going on with Domino Swift. We don't know what it is. But she may be not human or has some sort of...
She's part robot. Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
She's part motorcycle.
Yeah.
Maybe.
She's a transformer.
Hey, it worked for that one Michael Bay movie.
The less we talk about that, the better.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely pick up that book. Pick up the trade. It's like $7.
That's the best. That's excellent. Okay, cool. You know what? Let's go ahead and take a break here, and when we come back, we'll get into our review of Spider-Man Homecoming and any news that we have, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, we haven't planned that far ahead.
We'll see. We'll find out. Hey, we're back. That was the Ramones with the theme to Spider-Man. Yeah, pretty great song. I like it.
Yeah, super on the nose for what we're about to talk
really,
about.
Really, really super on the nose. Yeah. I actually think Spider-Man Homecoming had a Ramones song at the end, didn't it?
Blitzkrieg Bop.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're going to talk a little bit about Spider-Man Homecoming. I don't want to get into like crazy spoilers, but I don't know. It's a discussion. Some light kind of non-movie breaking things might come up in discussion.
Yeah.
So if you really want to go in super cold, maybe go take a 10-15 minute break from the show or something.
I thought it was innovative and brave how instead of doing your regular Spider-Man story, Spider-Man was actually a middle-aged man who wears a trench coat full of spiders.
Yeah, that was, yeah, a real big twist. Yeah.
Yeah, and he shoots the spiders out of the trench coat.
Yeah.
And when he solves crimes, the police give him more spiders to put in there.
You know, you just described the Spider-Man villain Swarm, who was a Nazi scientist that put his brain into, like, 1,000 bees, and he just makes his body out of bees in a purple cape.
Bees are sticking my flesh.
Yeah. Actually, he goes to the point where individual bees hold up teeth so that when he talks, he has a mouth and, like, reflective things so that people have eyes to look at. Yeah, seriously, this is a real Spider-Man villain. He's not in Spider-Man Homecoming, but, you know.
I feel like it's like that part in Lego Batman when the Joker is naming off a whole bunch of stupid Batman villains.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy's like, I think you're making some of these up. Nope.
Yeah, they could do that with Spider-Man.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I feel like you could do that with any superhero that's been around long enough.
Yeah. If your character's around for longer than 20 years, you have some weird supervillains. It just becomes a requisite. Like the top for the Flash.
Oh, yeah.
He has super speed, but only when he's spinning. Yeah. Anyway, Spider-Man Homecoming. Let's talk about this movie.
There's no trench coat man. I made that up.
Yeah. Yeah. Really? You did?
Yeah. That's not the way they went with the movie, surprisingly.
How dare you, Cody? Where's your journalistic integrity?
Yeah, well, they didn't buy my treatment.
That's it. That's what it is. So, so what'd you guys think of the movie?
It was great.
Oh, man, it's a good movie.
Really good.
Yeah, I was surprised how much I liked it, because I've got some Marvel fatigue.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. And it doesn't 100% break from the mold of the Marvel movie, but it's different enough.
It has a different flavor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's more comedy than action movie. I would almost go so far as to say it's like, what if John Hughes made an action movie?
Yeah, I can definitely see that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I can see that.
It's almost got a Deadpool Jr. thing going on.
Kind of. I mean, still not to that extreme, but yeah.
Not self-aware and not raunchy, but still really funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I thought it was just excellent from beginning to end. I am so glad. It did two things in this movie that I've wanted done in a Spider-Man movie since since Spider-Man 2. No mention of Uncle Ben.
Like, at all.
No, it wasn't an origin story. And they didn't say, with great power comes great responsibility. They show it. They show it multiple times. And, like, it, like, almost hurts Peter to be responsible in this movie. Because you can see on his face in some of the scenes where he's like, I would much rather be having fun with friends. I would much rather be a kid. But I gotta go do the right thing.
Yeah, like he's trying to live up to an ideal.
Yeah, and you don't get a lot of shots of him, like, swinging through the city, like the Sam Raimi-style kind of, like, big, wide, like, panning shots. In fact, they had a whole scene set in the suburbs where
He can't do it.
Yeah. He couldn't swing.
He had to run through that golf course.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off fashion.
Which is funny because in the one point where he's running through the backyards, Ferris Bueller's Day Off does appear on a TV.
Well, I'll tell you, it was like 2 seconds before that pops up, my brain went, this is like Ferris Bueller. And then it pops up right there on screen. Here it is. This is what we're referencing. And it was like perfect. It was perfect. Oh, gosh.
I've never seen Ferris Bueller.
Course.
Add it to the list. Yep. Add it to the list.
But no. So, and you are disappointed.
but no, it was really, really well done. We're all executed. I think this is my favorite version of Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Tom Holland does a great job.
Oh, absolutely.
This is the best Spider-Man movie they've ever done.
Mm-hmm.
I also love.
Even though I've only seen like three of all of them.
Yeah. Which ones have you seen?
Maybe two. Yeah, I've only seen one and three.
One and three? Okay, well, you're missing the best of the Sam Raimi. Two was really good.
Yeah.
Not missing much with the Andrew Garfield stuff.
I figured.
I liked the Andrew Garfield stuff.
I liked parts of the Andrew Garfield stuff. He made a good Spider-Man. He made a terrible Peter Parker.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, those films focused almost entirely on Peter Parker.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that when Tom Holland is Spider-Man, he leaves the mask on.
Yes.
There's no scene where he dramatically rips his mask off and goes, oh, so you could see like his
anguish.
Face.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of that is his eyes.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And it didn't look ridiculous. Like,
no.
There's some scenes in that first Sam Raimi Spider-Man where it's like him and Green Goblin talking on a roof.
Mm-hmm.
And even when I was a kid seeing it for the first time, I'm just like, this looks really stupid.
Yeah.
Looks like Power Rangers level kind of like goofy.
Yeah. No, I agree with you there. Yeah. No, I can't defend that. It's bad.
There was something else this movie did that we haven't really seen in a Spider-Man movie.
Mm-hmm.
In all of the other Spider-Man movies, like all the five other ones,
mm-hmm.
there's at least one really dramatic Spider-Sense scene.
Yeah. And there's not in this.
No.
Yeah. He didn't really. Did he even mention a spider?
No. He doesn't mention the spider sense. You got a sense that he had one.
Yeah, because you can kind of see where he'll perk up for like a second to like dodge out of the way or something.
It's because everyone knows Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Everyone knows what Spider-Man can do.
That's the thing. The movie doesn't think the audience is dumb.
Yeah.
Like it realizes everyone knows who Spider-Man is. Everyone knows what Spider-Man can do.
Yeah, and it just sets you like, it's like you picked up an issue right in the middle of a run. It's like, okay, this is a story being told about Spider-Man. This isn't an origin story. This isn't issue number one. This is just a comic.
Spider-Man is
Spider-Man.
Established.
Yeah. Yeah. I also like that they went back to the idea that Spider-Man villains are bank robbers.
At their core, yeah.
At their core, they're not out to conquer the world. They're not out to destroy things. They're not out for revenge. They need money, so they're going to do things to get money. And the Vulture and his crew are that. They're just arms makers. They make science weapons.
Yeah.
And for a really good reason, and they set it up very, very, very well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never thought I would be sitting in a world where I actually feel for the Vulture.
Oh, I don't care about the Vulture in any form except for this film. And you know why? Because they dropped that weird aging thing.
Yes.
Because in the comics, part of the Vulture's thing is he can absorb the life force of people to turn him from an old man to a young man.
Like, that's weird.
Like vultures do, you know?
Just like how they do.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is, like, obsessed with aging, and he's a really dumb villain, and I've always hated the Vulture.
Yeah, but no, this Vulture's great, and his suit makes sense. It's not, and I don't think he actually calls himself the Vulture at any point.
Nobody does.
Peter's always like, he's like some kind of weird Vulture guy.
He's like a weird monster guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all it is. Like, his weird, like, bird feet contraption makes sense. His wings make sense. The helmet makes sense. Everything makes sense on the
character. I love it when he like zips up his flight jacket and the furry collar on the flight jacket makes the furry Vulture collar.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Everything makes sense. And it's not like they're trying to shoehorn in because it's like this in the comics, this is why we have to do it in the movie. It works.
Yeah.
It works.
I mean, he honestly tries to be an honest guy at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
And then kind of gets pooped on.
Yep. And that, I tell you what, I was in for the movie within 2 minutes of it starting. Do you know why?
Because they brought in the damage control?
Because they brought in damage control. Damage control is one of my favorite concepts in the Marvel Universe. They in the comics, they're a company that comes is contracted by Stark or the U.S.
Shield.
Government, Shield or whatever, to come in and fix cities after giant
super
battles happen. They just come in and fix things. Like, and they're just normal people. Well, there's one guy, the foreman has super strength, but yeah. he doesn't fight crime. He's like, I would rather just be fixing stuff. I don't, you know,
he's a construction
care.
Dude.
Yeah. But damage control is one of my favorite concepts in comics. And at one point there was going to be a damage control show based set in the Marvel universe. I don't know if that's still going to happen.
That would probably be better than Shield. Honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly. Yeah. They're
more responsible than Shield.
Absolutely. Yeah. So within 2 minutes of seeing damage control, I was like, okay, they get it. I'm in. Let's do this. This is great. Let's see, what else? What'd you think of the other cast? What'd you think of Ned? Ned is a new addition to the Spider-Man lore. He's never had a character like that in any form
like
of
media. Like a buddy?
Yeah.
I liked it.
Yeah.
He was cute. He was a good kid.
Yeah. He was a really good kid. And I like how at the beginning, when he finds out... Peter Spider-Man. He's like, I want to be your tech guy. I want to be your guy in the chair.
Yeah.
And by the end, he kind of becomes the guy in the chair.
The fact that he keeps spinning around and going, guy in the chair.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was endearing, but he wasn't like overly annoying.
Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly. Yeah.
I'm glad the movie didn't get tied up in too much Avengers bullcrap.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. I think that might have been the weakest part of the movie, though.
Was
the Stark bits, and not because Robert Downey Jr. was bad, or that Jon Favreau was bad as Happy. I'm actually glad that they did more stuff with Happy Hogan.
Yeah,
than,
it's been a while.
Than Stark, and that it's like Happy is trying to do this thing because he wants a promotion. But I think that was kind of the weakest part. They could have done with just a little bit less of those references.
Yeah.
I think also. I'm not sure how much I enjoy Spider-Man's Stark suit being, like, Iron Man light.
Yeah, I was thinking this, too, because, like, at what point is he Spider-Man and not just Iron Man Jr.?
Yeah, I mean,
Iron Spider.
On one hand, it makes sense, because Iron Man in this movie is, like, overly protective. Like, overly protective. And, of course, he's going to build a bunch of safety controls and stuff into the suit, because he's like, this is a 15-year-old kid. And I just turned him into a super soldier.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to do everything I can to make sure this kid doesn't die. But, yeah, some of that extra stuff was just... Although, did you catch it's a giant reference in joke? The voice of Karen, the computer suit, is Jennifer Connelly. She's married in real life to Paul Bettany, who was Jarvis and is now Vision. So, the voice in Iron Man suit... in real life is married to the voice in Spider-Man suit. Yeah, just one giant joke there. Yeah, I think that might have been the only real kind of down point.
Yeah, I understand why they had to give the suit a voice so we would have somebody to talk to during all that
alone bits.
That one scene.
Yeah. But it just doesn't seem right.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know.
I think it makes sense for the universe they've built.
Because
the fact, you know, even though he gets the suit taken away and he goes back to his red hoodie.
Basically the Scarlet Spider costume.
To a point, yeah.
Yeah. I think... I like the other casting in this film as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody's good. Nobody stands out as being bad.
The only thing that I didn't much care for, and part of me thinks it's kind of neat, but that very end bit with Zendaya's character, I don't want to spoil it, but... You know, at the very, very, very end.
It didn't bother me.
Well, it didn't bother me too much, but it's like, did you need it? Did that extra little twist need to be tacked on there at the end?
Well, I actually read an article the other day that said, yeah, they say that, but it's not really what it is.
Yeah, well, it's like at the end of Dark Knight Rises where Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character says, oh, yeah, by the name, my name's Robin.
Yeah.
My actual name's Robin. Get it?
Yeah, but
it's Robin.
But they said that she is not that character.
Gotcha. All right. Well, that's fine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, whatever.
I mean, if she ends up truly being that character, that's fine. It's an interesting take on her.
Yeah.
Plus, I really liked her. I really liked her character in the movie.
Yeah, I liked her character a lot in the movie as well.
I liked how sassy and kind of crazy she was.
Yeah.
like I said, there is. I also liked the interesting take they had on Flash Thompson.
Or that was
whatever they say his name.
He is a modern bully, because I don't think they could do the 1960s version of "I'm just a big guy who's going to punch you
a lot."
Yeah, he's that just, doesn't play these days.
He's a jerk.
He's a jerk with psychological.
He's not physically abusive. He's just a douche.
Plus,
a douche with money.
They go to a science, like a special like science high school.
Yeah,
if you noticed. A giant football player would not work.
No.
And a big dumb football player wouldn't work in like a special preparatory like scientist high school.
Yeah.
So they gotta have a super rich snob jerk character.
I think Hannibal Buress is wasted as a gym teacher in the Marvel universe.
Well, I think so too.
I think he's too funny to like, I don't know, make him some kind of superhero. I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you notice that there are five villains in this movie? There are five of them. I mean, only one of them's... Two of them... One of them's named. Another one is the Vulture.
Yeah.
The other one's Shocker, who's named, but only because the guy's an idiot. Or the first guy's an idiot. And it's like, I'm the Shocker. Look at me.
Yeah. That part was funny.
That was great. But the guy who built the stuff, he's based on a character called the Tinkerer.
Yep.
Yeah. The Scorpion
is only referenced visually, kind of.
Visually and by name.
Oh, yeah. I guess.
Yeah. And he's actually, a few weeks ago, we ran a story about the Silver Sable Black Cat movie. And we mentioned there that there was a reference to a cameo that ties that movie to this.
Yeah, yeah.
Scorpion's going to be one of the major antagonists in the Silver Sable Black Cat movie.
Yeah.
That's what that reference is. That's it.
Yeah.
And Donald Glover was a name and visual reference to the Prowler, who was an old Spider-Man villain.
Yep.
And ties to Miles Morales.
Yes, the second Ultimate Spider-Man.
Uh-huh. I love this movie.
Oh, yeah, it's a great movie.
It's a great movie.
I love the fact that the web shooters are still mechanical.
Yes.
That was one thing I loved about the Amazing Spider-Man movies was he had mechanic web shooters and not the bio web shooters.
And that he doesn't go to like a science lab to make the webbing.
Nope.
He just does it at school.
He just makes it at school and hides it behind a bunch of lockers that he can lift up.
Yeah. One thing I liked is they did a really good job at showcasing the fact that he is just a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And
he screws up a ton.
He screws up a lot, but also he has moments of extreme weakness because he is a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he may have super strength, but sometimes I think he forgets about it when he gets scared.
You're talking about that specific ending spot at the end.
Yes.
That was probably some of the best acting in a Spider-Man movie I've seen in a long time.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't say enough about this movie. And, you know, there's a lot of really good visuals that tie to the comics. The scene of Spider-Man with... This is, again, within the first 5 minutes of the movie, so I don't think it's a spoiler.
Oh, the part where he's eating the sandwich?
He's sitting on top of... Yeah, that is a very classic, like, Spider-Man visual. I like that they didn't take the entire mask off to eat the sandwich.
Yes.
It's just pulled up to the nose. He's just sitting there watching the city. Yeah.
Eating a bad lunch.
That's Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's Spider-Man.
He was always the people's hero.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, until recently in the comics, but also the character is a lot older and blah, blah, blah.
Sure, sure. Yeah.
Hey, Spider-Man, do a flip.
That part was great.
That was great, yeah.
That part was great.
That's exactly what somebody would yell at Spider-Man from the street.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. The fact that, you know, he was, like, showing people around town in his spider suit.
That first intro sequence where he was just being friendly neighborhood Spider-Man
was great.
Just the best. Well, I don't know how much more we could talk about the movie
without getting
super spoilery, and I don't want to do that.
It would be
super fun to dig into it, but the movie's less than a week old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just go see it.
See it.
I was kind of reluctant because, like I said, Marvel burnout, but I'm glad I did. Also, it's got a twist in there that I didn't see coming.
I didn't see it coming either. The theater, everybody in the theater when I went to see it did not see it coming.
And I'm usually pretty good at catching twists.
when it happened, I was kind of like, in the back of my head, I was like, well, I mean, I was kind of expecting.
Like, oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it wasn't like, oh, I saw it coming.
Like a mile away. No, yeah, no,
no. Not at all.
It was cleverly nested in there.
Okay, we're about ready to get into spoilers, we got to move on. Okay, so we have, like, almost no time, but we're going to fly through a couple of news bits here. Speaking of Marvel stuff, there's a New Warriors show that's going to be that's being produced for...
Freeform.
Whatever that
is. We've talked about it.
It's a channel.
ABC Family. It used to be ABC Family, and then it was Disney Family, and now it's Freeform.
I think it was Fox Family another
time. Fox Family, yeah. It's been the Family Channel. Whatever.
At one point, it was just called the Family Channel.
I think so. Anyway, they're doing a show based on the New Warriors, which are a bunch of, like, teen
young Marvel
mid-20s Marvel characters.
D-list Marvel characters.
Basically.
They really are.
And the main character in that show is Squirrel Girl, which we have been on record to say that we love. Yeah. It's a great character. They cast her, finally. It's an actress named Milana Vientrub. I think I'm saying that name
right. Yeah, that sounds right to me.
Name doesn't sound familiar to a lot of people. She hasn't done a ton, but she is Lily, the AT&T girl in all of those AT&T commercials. That's where, like, 90% of the pop of people will know her from.
She was in Ghostbusters as, like, screaming rat ghoul or something.
Yeah, something like that. I know her from, she used to have a YouTube channel, and she was in Other Space with the Paul Feig space show that I enjoyed quite a bit.
When we say the AT&T, was she the one that had, like, the bedazzled AT&T jacket?
Yes.
Okay.
She's the real cute one.
Yeah. I always did enjoy those commercials.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly because of her, because she was adorable.
Yeah. Well, she's going to be Squirrel Girl, and I think it's good casting.
Oh, yeah.
It works. Yeah.
Yeah, she's got, like, that quality that I would look for in a actress.
In a Squirrel Girl?
Yeah. No, I'm just saying, like, you know, she's not like, you know, some, you know, she's not like the Enchantress where she's literally a supermodel. You know, she's a very real-looking girl.
Yeah, that, and she has, she's Second City trained, so she's a comedic, she's funny, she's a comedic actress, and that really shows me what kind of show that this New Warriors, which is basically going to be Squirrel Girl and the New Warriors.
Squirrel Girl and people.
And friends.
And friends, basically. It just kind of shows me what kind of show this is going to be, and I've, you know, if I had the Freeform channel, I'd probably watch it.
Yeah.
Hopefully it'll show up on, like, Hulu or something, or, you know what? It's 2017. I'll find a way to watch this show. That's not going to be a problem.
Wink.
Yeah. Let's see. More superhero news. Amazon Prime Video or whatever. Yeah.
A new trailer for The Tick.
Yeah. It got picked up, and it's getting...
Thank God.
I think it's getting 8 episodes.
Something like that, yeah.
Aww.
Eight or 12 episodes, and then with an option to get a second season.
I hope 12, because 8's not enough.
8's not enough, yeah. It looks great.
Yeah, the pilot was excellent.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah, the pilot was a little dark, like, not like tone-wise, but like just visually, everything was kind of dark and muted. Mm. It looks like they fixed the Tick's costume. He is bright blue, and Peter Serafinowicz does the Tick voice perfectly.
Yeah.
Folks who don't know him, he's a comedic actor. He was in Guardians 1 as one of the Novas.
Yeah.
He was the one that wasn't John C. Reilly.
Yes.
But no, it looks really good. Even Arthur's costume, they modernized it to a point where it still makes sense and is visually Arthur, the moth guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Reluctant moth guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, I'm excited for it. I've always been a Tick fan. I've always loved the Tick.
Oh, yeah.
He's great.
He's over the top and goofy with his external comic book monologuing.
Oh, yeah. 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 I love the Tick cartoon. Have you ever read any of the Tick comics, like the original?
I've wanted to over the years. I just never really got into it.
I'll let you borrow it next time once I find the trade. It only ran for 9 issues, but it's a really good 9 issues.
Man, that cartoon was on point.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I'm excited to see some of the side characters from The Tick, too, because The Tick has a great gallery of ridiculous heroes.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to ask the room, Batman Well or Deflator Mouse?
Deflator Mouse.
Deflator Mouse.
Yeah.
Probably.
Okay. For the folks at home, there was a live-action Tick show starring Patrick Warburton.
Yep.
Was released a few years after the animated series was off the air. Actually, I think it was about 5 or 10 years afterwards.
Yeah, it was a lot. It was a big gap.
It was enough that the Tick still had a a name recognition
right
in the general populace.
Right. And in the cartoon, there was a Batman analogous called Diflatormouse, and he was kind of just this jerk.
Yeah.
He was just a rich boy.
Yeah.
Just
with
pretending.
A very, very, very bat-like costume with big nostrils and ears and stuff mm-hmm. on it.
And they couldn't get the rights to that character for the live action series, so they changed him to Batman Well, who was a Latino Batman who was more interested in picking up chicks.
I think that name is a little too on the nose.
Yeah.
Have Batman Well. I mean, it's a funny joke, like, the first time, mm-hmm. but I don't, like, just having your character named that constantly.
Well, that was a big problem with the Patrick Warburton live-action series, was a lot of the jokes were like, it's funny the first time, but after 9 episodes, it's like, I get it. But no, this looks really good.
Have they casted American Maid?
I don't think they have. So far, the only real casting I've seen has been the Tick, Arthur, Dot, Arthur's sister, and the Terror, this 100-year-old, like, turn of the century villain.
Even if American Maid's even going to be in it, because
I don't know.
Patrick Warburton one had somebody else, didn't it?
Yeah. It was, what was her name? I think it was just Miss America or something like that. Yeah.
I was like, was it Liberty?
Liberty Bell.
No, that was Glow. This isn't City Heroes. Her name was Liberty Bell.
Yeah, I think that's a DC character, too. Yeah, it's a real on-the-nose character name.
Patriotic female superhero.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. More superhero television news.
Man.
Let's keep going. The Umbrella Academy. That was a comic that was done, I want to say, a decade ago.
And not a Resident Evil spinoff.
No, it wasn't.
It sounds like.
Right. It was a superhero comic done by Gerard Way of My Chemical Romance and currently of the DC Comics Young Animal line, which is really good. If you want some good comics to check out, Cave Carson has a Cybernetic Eye and Doom Patrol and Mother Panic. And there's a fourth one. There's actually a fifth one now. Doom Patrol is really good. Anyway,
I love Doom Patrol because it's weird.
Anyway, Gerard Way, his first foray, like actual foray into comics, it was The Umbrella Academy. And it's been picked up for a Netflix series.
Everything gets a Netflix series. Have we gotten a Netflix series yet?
Give us 6 months. We'll get it. I don't know.
Somebody will stub their toe on us.
Yeah. I read Umbrella Academy. It was big when Hot Topic was selling comics there for a hot minute because it was very much like that style of story.
Like I flipped through it at the store once or twice. I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah, I read it and it's fine. Netflix could be spending their money elsewhere.
Yeah, there's a lot of other things that, you know.
I mean, it does have some cool visuals, like a guy with the body of a gorilla.
Yeah.
And the head of a guy. The whole idea is where it was a bunch of kids that were had superpowers that were raised by the Umbrella Academy to be a super team. And they all come back 20 years later because one of their siblings, or no, it wasn't their sibling. It was their like adoptive father passed away.
Yeah.
And they're all kind of forced to come back together.
It's an indie movie plot.
And basically, yeah. And they've all kind of, like, one is trying to live a normal life, and one's gone on to become, like, a world-famous scientist because his power was, like, super, like, math powers.
Yeah.
And one is just became kind of like a burnout and
somewhat realistic take on a superhero.
Mm-hmm. And then they go up against one of their other, like, adoptive sisters who didn't have powers as a kid but was, like, surgically augmented to have, like, destructive violin powers.
Yeah.
Also, it's weird. Yeah, I don't know. Again, Netflix could be spending their money elsewhere. I'm sure it'll be fine.
It's the most basic indie movie plot.
It kind of is.
Somebody died, so I have to go home and deal with emotions.
With my crazy family.
Yeah.
Who just also happen to be superheroes.
Yeah.
It's Garden State with superheroes.
Kind of. It kind of is. Yeah. Although if it's filmed like a Wes Anderson movie, that would be kind of neat.
Yeah.
We have time for one last news bit. So Disney's been doing a lot of like live action adaptations of their animated films. And I guess they're working on Aladdin. And they're running into...
This is the dumbest sentence we're ever
going
to say.
This is very dumb. According to Disney, they are having trouble casting a non-white Aladdin. Let that sink in.
Yeah.
You think they would have learned the last time when they tap danced around the issue about trying to cast people for Mulan and people lost their minds about it?
It's not that hard to cast brown people.
There's an entire
country.
There's a few of them.
Yeah. Just off the top of my head, I can think of Dev Patel from Slumdog Millionaire. He would be about the right age. I could think of the guy who played Flash from Spider-Man Homecoming.
He's already working for Disney.
He's already working for Disney. Like, there's an entire country full of Bollywood actors that they can pull. They don't have to find a name actor to fill this role. If they want a name actor, Jafar and the Genie. Get relatively unknown actors and actresses for the rest of the
human cast.
To play the rest of the cast.
It's a movie based on Aladdin. Sold to people.
It's not difficult. Can they look at what happened to Prince of Persia and take a hint? Jake Gyllenhaal is not Persian. Is not Persian. Find a non-white actor for Aladdin. He's Aladdin.
His name is Aladdin.
For crying out loud.
Just because the genie calls him Al doesn't mean you have to go down to the 7-Eleven to get your street rat.
Come on. Like, come on.
Yeah, you could cast whoever you want for the genie. He's a blue ghost.
He's
a blue ghost, yeah.
And Jafar is debatably human.
No, he was human in the first one.
I know.
Yeah.
Like I said, debatable.
Yeah.
How about we just don't make this movie?
Well, they're going to make this movie.
I mean, they're going to go through. They're probably going to do everything.
Oh, yeah. They're going through the whole canon, and it's kind of boring.
It's going to be weird when they get to that live-action Aristocats movie.
Yeah. Hey, I'd be down for that.
Hey, I mean, they're still trying with the Lion King.
Oh, yeah. They are trying with the Lion King, aren't they?
Yeah.
Oh,
a live action in
quote unquote. Yeah.
How about The Rescuers and its sequel, The Rescuers Down Under?
Well, if things hold true, Down Under would be the superior film.
Well, yeah, that's very true.
The Great Mouse Detective.
Hey, don't you put that voodoo out there. Mouse Detective is one of my favorite movies. But it's great, and it's really dark for a Disney film.
Oh, sure. It was during the dark time of...
Like when The Black Cauldron came out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, sure.
Disney's Dark Ages is literally what that time period is called.
Yeah.
Oh, man. What about a Disney...
Lilo and Stitch.
Shut up.
Oh, look. Just the most garbage CG Stitch running around. I can see it in my head.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. If they could get Andy Serkis to do it.
That would actually be kind of cool.
Andy Serkis would be a great Stitch.
He kind of would.
And he could do the voice.
Yeah, really well.
Smeagol's already half there.
Yeah. All right, hey, we are like super over time, so we gotta wrap things up. You've been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you very much for tuning in. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
You can also find us at Facebook at facebook.com/nerdoverloadradio.
You can email us at staff@nerdoverload.com.
You can tweet at us at nerd_overload or subscribe to our YouTube channel, Nerd Overload TV, or also subscribe to our Twitch channel, Nerd Overload Live.
Boy, there's got to be an easier way to say that.
Yeah, it's turned into a real mouthful.
It really has, yeah. Anyway, we are also on iTunes and Stitcher, so check us out over there. You can find all of our back episodes, even the ones when we weren't on the radio, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, when we weren't
arguably.
When we weren't even called Nerd Overload.
Yeah, remember Pizza Cast? No one remembers Pizza Cast, because I think we were the only ones that listened to Pizza Cast. Anyway, thanks again for tuning in, and we will be back next week.
Peace out.